Chapter 7. Hugo the Headless Hungarian. Georgie couldn't stop laughing. This meant Harry couldn't stop laughing either. "You should have seen his face," yelled Georgie. "His face," laughed Harry. He was scared witless. Virginia thought they were being mean. "Boys," she said, "that poor ghost. Haven't you teased him enough? He was trying to scare us."
"Fair's fair," said Georgie.
"Fair is fair," said Harry. Virginia scowled. It was bad enough having one 9-year-old brother. Twins were the end. You had to hear every silly thing twice. Mr. Otis put down his newspaper. "The Otis family," he said, "must look after itself. But I will not put up with bullying."
"I agree," said Mother, spooning treacle onto her toast.
"Boys, you are to leave the Canterville ghost alone. If there is any funny business, your father and I will deal with it." Georgie pulled a face. So did Harry. Virginia went into the library to look at that morning's stain. It wasn't there. She felt rather sad and secretly hoped it would come back. Breakfast wouldn't be quite the same without it. Washington was thrilled. He held up the bottle. "Good timing. Look, that's the last of the pots." Virginia wandered into the garden, thinking about the ghost. It couldn't be much fun being a ghost. It must be very lonely hanging around the same place for hundreds of years with no one to talk to. Still, this Sir Simon, whatever his name was, had done something pretty terrible, even if it was a long time ago. Maybe he deserved it. Virginia could hear the twins whooping and yelling. Georgie was shouting that three of them should have a game. But his sister wasn't in the mood. "You two play," she said, "and remember what Ma and Pa said. No more bullying our ghost. Understood?"
"Yes, understood," said Georgie.
"Understood," came the echo from Harry. Sir Simon de Canterville was not feeling sorry for himself at that moment. He was looking for the rival ghost from the night before. He had even made up a little speech. Sir Simon was going to tell this newcomer that he had better find his own place to haunt. This was Canterville Chase, and the only proper ghost was a de Canterville. So he'd better whoosh off if he knew what was good for him. However, if the new ghost got difficult, Sir Simon had a backup plan. He would offer to share the haunting. Two ghosts would be better than one, especially when those horrible twins were around. When he reached the spot where he had last seen the ghost, a terrible sight met his eyes. Something awful had happened. The ghost was leaning against the wall as if in pain. The gleaming sword had fallen from his hand. For a second he felt sorry for him. Then he took a deep breath. "Canterville, pull yourself together," he muttered. Even so, he couldn't leave a fellow ghost like that. He reached out and tried to lift him up, but to Sir Simon's horror, the ghost's head fell off. It rolled across the floor, and his body fell to pieces in Sir Simon's arms. Sir Simon was holding a white cotton sheet. He grabbed at the placard which had hung around the ghost's neck. It read, "Ye oldie ghostie, and all other real spooks. Beware of fakes. Tricked. Worst of all, made a fool of. And by a pair of 9-year-olds who couldn't even spell." This was not playing fair. He ground his teeth and muttered the rudest, angriest things he could think of. Something had to be done, and quickly. The problem was, all this was having a bad effect on Sir Simon. He had the jitters. The slightest noise made him jump. He kept to his room for 3 whole days, going over things in his mind. By then, he had given up on the stain. If this rotten American family didn't know first-class British haunting, then they didn't deserve it. And that Washington and his cleaning habits, odd in such a young man. Peculiar, even. This family were not worth haunting. There was also something they could never know, or hope to understand. It was the ghost's charter. This was something Sir Simon took very seriously. He had to haunt at least once a week, as well as doing chain-rattling duty once a month.
There was no way he could escape these duties and keep his honour. That was a fact. For the next few weeks, he carried out his work as usual. However, he crept, he flitted, he hid under a long black cloak. And he even tried out the hateful pot's all-purpose on his chains. It worked quite well, actually. In fact, he left the Otises alone, but the boys did not leave him alone. Not a bit of it. They stretched strings across the stairs to trip him up. A butter slide, a horrible invention, sent him skating down the hall on his bottom at full speed. He crashed into a washing basket, sending the clothes flying. Something fell on his head. He reached up and pulled it down. Knickers! Oh, the shame of it! He was holding a huge pair of Mrs. Umney's Sunday best. After a few more of these tricks, he began to get angry. He wanted revenge. He was the Canterville ghost, he reminded himself. He would not be made a fool of. He would not. It was then he remembered Hugo, the headless Hungarian. He hadn't used that for 70 years. He wasn't even sure he could find the outfit. It had so terrified the fourth Lord Canterville that he and his whole family fled the house. Sir Simon had hidden it away, in case he had no one left to haunt. Why hadn't he thought of it before? He found the Hugo outfit in the back of his room. It took 3 full hours to get things. Never able to sleep, never even to have one friend. By this time, tears were pouring down Virginia's face. What a long, lonely 300 years. Can't anyone help you? She said. You know something, he said. You could help. Virginia felt suddenly scared. You can help me because you are good and kind. Good is stronger than evil. That is one thing I know. She shuddered. She felt as if she was in some awful dream. You know what is written on the library window? It's the Canterville Prophecy. Yes, we've all read it. I know it by heart. Virginia spoke the funny old words. When a kind and true young heart can tell the good from the evil part, when that same heart sheds a tear and the dead tree fruit does bear, then all in this house shall be still and peace shall come to Canterville. What does that mean? It means that if a kind young person sheds a tear for me, because I can't cry myself,